Right. Well, the time has passed already quite a lot. So I hope you're still awake, and because, well, today we're everything, but the time has changed. It's 1 hour earlier. I hope so. I hope you're still all awake. So let's continue in Colossians. And today we reach the practical part. So chapter 1 and 2, they set a foundation. I don't want to say a theoretical foundation, but they lay a foundation for our life, and especially our life through the Lord. And the main word, the main phrase is Christ, our life. So this sentence, Christ, our life, it must not only be a phrase. So that is why I added the verses in 2 Corinthians, but there you can see the life of Jesus, which is in us, must be expressed, must be visible. The Lord lives in us, and He wants that this can be seen only one way, on another way. So here it says, also the life is hidden, also important. So the one or the other has happened that yet somehow he or she is different. I don't know what is different, but somehow the person is different. Well, a tiny thing is expressed already in this way. And it says, we were dead. So the unredeemed and unsaved person is in the eyes of God dead. Chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses. Some issues with the microphone, but so the issues are fixed. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So the fallen, unsaved man is dead. Well, it's, you could say very drastically, walking dead bodies. But He has made us alive. Amen. When He saved us, we received Him as our life. And in John 10, we read yesterday, I came so that they have life, and overflowing life. He has given us this life. And now this life wants to be expressed as a testimony. And that begins in Colossians, the letter of Colossians, with that we align our thoughts in this way, according this way. That's chapter 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Sit. Amen. And verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That is very active. It's a decision. Behind this, there is a decision. You realize that when you read it, seek those things which are above. And if I seek something before I made the choice that I am seeking, do you agree with me? I'm glad that so many young people are sitting in the front rows. And well, I'm known for asking many questions. I'm glad that I can see so many young people in the first rows. But first of all, we are active, and actively we make this choice. this decision, I am seeking what is above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So that is Christ, which has is sitting at the right hand of God, sitting on the throne. The Christ that who rules today, who has everything in his hand. And on this one, we align our mind and we focus our thinking. And we read Matthew 6, verse 33. A very known and popular verse. So who wants to read this verse? Or please, or just if someone could read this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But seek first, amen, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, in principle, it is the same. This seeking, in German, it's different words, seeking in Matthew 6 and Colossians, but seeking. In Christ, it is Christ sitting at the right hand of God. So, does someone know in how many Gospels it is described the ascension of Jesus? Spontaneously, one, between one and four, so we have two. Someone said two, that's right. And in which? Which Gospels? Mark and Luke. So in both of these Gospels, so in Mark, Jesus is displayed as the servant, and in Mark as the man. And in which gospel it is written that Jesus has been put or sitting at the right hand of God? And only in one. Only in the Gospel of Mark. Only in the Gospel in which he is displayed as a servant, in which he humbled himself until the death at the cross. Only then, or it is said, he is sitting at the right hand of God. And he's not just sitting there, he's actively working with, or he is really actively working there. He is not just waiting, and he is joining God's work. And he is the one sitting at the right hand of God. And on him we align our thoughts, we seek him. Amen. Set your mind on things above. Amen. Not on things on the earth. So this doesn't mean that we should not take care for anything. So I'll just go in my room and only think about the Lord and do nothing else. That's not what it is meant. So I have my work, I have my family, I have my income. Just normal. We are just normal people and living a normal life. But we are directed upon the Lord in everything. Just as in Colossians, in all things, first the Lord. No matter what you do, first the Lord. And let's read Philippians 3, verse 19. Mm-hmm. Philippians 3, verse 19 and 20. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our citizenship is in heaven. That is something we need to be so aware. I don't know if it happened to you yet. There are so many opportunities in which you might feel foreign or among certain people. And you have a feeling, oh, I don't belong there. I don't know if that has happened to you yet, but I know that happened to me. Somehow we are strangers. So, well, we have double citizenship in a way. Well, you have a German passport, but also your citizenship in heaven, and that remains. Our citizenship is in heaven. Here, we are strangers, yeah, foreigners. Well, we are allowed to stay. We have an allowance, but we belong to the Lord. So I don't want to go deeper in this example, but our citizenship is in heaven. And that is why our mind is supposed to be not set on earthly things, but on heavenly things. So, if you know here, I'm doing well, my house, my garden, my vacation, so the typical talks between colleagues. Well, that is how it is. I don't want to talk or make this bad, but the thoughts are set totally upon earthly things. Perhaps on financial things, in which can I invest best? Where are the best interests? Should I buy at the stock exchange? Or so you can set your entire mind upon these things. Well, it's also good to have a certain good income. So there is a minimum, like to have food, to have clothes. Let us be sufficient with that. But we should not hang our heart on this to invest everything. We must have this and we must need this, but we are also strangers. Mm-hmm. And our life is hidden with Christ in God today. Today, still, our life is hidden. It wants to be revealed. It wants to be exposed. But still, it is a mystery of Christ. The best revelation of this life is a church at its place. So the golden lampstand, it's such a great picture because it's the expression of God, of Christ, a lampstand just out of pure gold. That is the nature of God, which is expressed. It has the form, that is the sun. It has oil, which is the spirit. And what does the lampstand do? It shines in darkness. That is the expression of God, really, at every locality. But this is depending on every single one of us. How do I live? How is my relationship with the Lord? And what in which are I am focused upon? Yeah. Now let's go to verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, it's future tense, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. So, one day the Lord will come again, and then also we will be revealed or in good glory. What means glory? What is the definition of glory, Brother Michael? The Lord is glorious. That could be a different, that was the answer. Well, it is the Lord that is expressed. That is glory. Amen. Let's read a few verses on the outline. or they're on partly on the outline. It's Luke 21, verse 27. But it's also described in Matthew and Mark. Luke 21, I think.
Öffentliche, sichtbare Kommen des Herrn.
21 verse. It's the coming of this. Verses 25, 26, 27. The public appearance when the Lord comes again for a second time. Then they will see the Son of Man coming, the cloud with power and great glory. Isaiah
52.
Isaiah.
Das ist ganz am Schluss. Der Ölberg sich spalten wird, das ist dieses Tal, was er hier meint. Dann wird man den Herrn sehen und alle Heiligen kommen mit ihm.
So, if the Lord comes again, then all saints will join.
Das ist auch kein Schatten, das wird passieren, so wie es hier steht.
And this is not a shadow, it will happen as it is described. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So that means the ones who descended before, they will come again with him at this day. And that is at the very end, the end of the great tribulation. And let's read in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 10. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired among all those who believe. So this tongue, you have to taste this verse on your tongue. Sorry. To be glorified in his saints, and to be admired, and to be admired among all those who believe. And I say it in this way, then it. They can see what is in us, yeah. What, and then it will be revealed. And oh wow! Therefore, that is the reason. It's a very, very strong verse. Read this verse quietly and pray about this verse because it's so strong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. So the glory of God will be expressed entirely through the people who believe, through the saints. So that was the introduction, kind of. No, we come back on this earth. I'm on the outline. I wrote point B, putting off the old man with his practices, and we put on the new man. And the scripture says we have put off the old man, and we have put on the new man. So how new do you feel? That is the foundation, the base. We have put off the old man. And in in baptism, we have put off the old man. It is buried, dead through baptism. The old man is finished. Over. We have put on the new man. But the new man will be renewed. Or will. So, I buy something new and then this still needs to be renewed? Is this working? How can that be? Is it now new or is it not new? Actually, you would say the old man needs to be renewed, but that is not working at all. The old man is finished and over, buried, done. The new man we have put on, but now and we must be renewed. So that we put on the new man is the foundation, the spiritual foundation, and to put on the new man piece by piece. And with the old man, it is the same. The old man is buried, but still there is much there from the old man. So let's go into the verses. Therefore, bring to death your members. Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, and so. But, well, why is it described here as members? So, have you read the verse? When you read the verses, have you asked this question? Well, if you read, then you just need to ask questions. Well, not to me, but to the Lord. Yeah, always to the Lord, the questions. And let's read a verse about members. Romans 6, verse 12 and 13. Chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And this shows what Paul means is our members. It is our members in which we do these things. So it does not say, no, you need to cut off your hand. But the unrighteous, or we must make it not working. Just as it says, do not present your members as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin. So, to whom do I give the members of my body? I decide. That does not mean, well, I can do all this. I am a very good person, very capable. I am in spiritual light. Yeah. But I want to give my members as instruments to the Lord, as instruments of righteousness to God. Amen. And then if we read Romans 8, you can see, well, certain actions I can do. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So here we are in demand to bring to death, to put to death. And the Spirit is in us. We have the Spirit. And through the Spirit, we can make the members of the body without any effect. We can make them effectless. And this means, and I want to add the background of the letter, this does not mean some kind of self-rebuke. It's not about this, but it has to do with reign and reigning, and in this case with self-control. And in the city of Colossae, this time, and in this part of Greek Macedonia, there was something called gnosis, mixing between philosophy and Jewish practices. And I don't want to go deeper in this, too deep in this. Well, today it's similar and again and again. But this teaching through certain methods or behavior, you can reach the next level in you can improve. And well, there are also today, there are religions like this. You practice certain things and that is how you improve and improve to the next level. And that is also the askese, or yeah. And Paul says this is all nothing. This is all nothing.
Behandlung des Leibes sind aber wertlos gegen die Begierden des Fleisches.
Wertlos. We said in Corinthians. No. Oh, sorry, I don't know the verse. We have the life of the Lord in us. And that is why there is the strength also there. That we have the spirit. Everything is there. There is the power for us to so that we can bring to death the members of the body. We need to claim that. Ever 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Chapter 3, verse 6. And this are meant for these people, for these movements that lead away from the Lord. Well, we all had been sons of disobedience. Do you know this phrase? Where is this phrase also mentioned? In Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Amen. And these things, they lead away from Jesus, from Christ. And that is why Paul shows this highly exalted Christ. Well, if you could read that in Old Greek, then we could see this is special words are used. Paul uses special words, and with that he wants to show Christ is more than everything else, more than religion and world can offer to you. This Christ, and everything that leads away from this Christ will also cheat you for reaching the price, gaining the price. And therefore, he says, that's Colossians 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. Amen. There are so many people who say, do this, do that, and that is not helping. We need this Christ. And this Christ we grasp every day and day as our reality. So I don't say this for the reason that it becomes a phrase, but it becomes our reality.
In denen auch ihr einst gewandelt seid, als ihr darin lebtet. Das ist eigentlich das Problem mit unserem alten Menschen.
That's verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. So the Lord is close. And if we react spontaneously, we tend to react in our old man. If we are in stress, then immediately we are in the old man. And surrounding us, the old man is pushing us. So there are certain fashionable things. Please understand, it's a bit. So there are certain movements, waves, like. Yeah, movements, there's certain movements, and well, you need to be a part of this. You must be modern. Well, today you must be woke, or I don't know what is there as well. I don't know, I'm too old to know all this. But I'll read First Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Here we have the opposite. Children, obedient children is the opposite. And we are children of obedience. Therefore, do not conform, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. And let's read chapter 4, so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. In regard in these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. That is something that can happen to you. If you do not join the run in these modern movements and coming in waves, then there's dissipation or speaking evil of you behind your back. Well, that is no problem. We are children of obedience. If we lose our face, or if we are mocked, that is just temporary. That is not, does not have a meaning or deeper meaning. If there are situations like this, then we can change, or the Lord can turn. And verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. So, James 1, 21. So, we are not in the Old Testament, also not in the shadows. We are in the New Covenant here. In James 1:21, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive the meekness, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So this James is not writing to unbelievers. So on the one side, we accept the word, with gentleness, we accept the word with gentleness, and we lay aside everything else. We accept the word meekness. And now in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. It's much about laying aside. Paul says that, James said that, Peter says that, and Hebrews 12, I guess you all know the verse 12. First verse. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So this requires our decision. So some things, something happens, and I really realize, oh, this was not very well, not at all. Then I can still go to the Lord and tell him, I don't want this. Oh, let yourself be transformed. And also I have points or things, and I say, oh, so long I walk with the Lord, but still this thing is there. But I can tell the Lord, oh, Lord, work on this. I don't want this. I cannot work on this. I cannot erase it. I cannot get it. So this angers me, but I don't know, this still, there is a little box, and you open the box and something gets out of the box, or something jumps out of the box, or it jumps out of the box. I cannot, I'm not able to have the box always closed, but I can tell the Lord, I am sorry, cover this with your blood. Well, the Lord will treat it. Amen. Matthew 23:37. To show how the Lord is standing in these things. Or has a standing in these things. In this situation, before his death, he enters Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Because they were not willing, the Lord could not do something. So if you study this with all details, there were many opportunities. The Lord created opportunities so that the Jews could have turned around, but they were not willing. Everything that he did, they took to bring him to death. He said, I was willing, but you were not willing. You could say, oh, he could have done something. But, well, he did a lot, and the Old Testament is full of that. He says, you were not willing. So, now I jump to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, verse 15.
Denn so spricht der Herr, der ist sogar recht bekannt.
Verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength. So it's often written now on calendars or in pictures, and but then at the end of the verse it says, but you would not. The Lord had prepared everything. Everything was there, present, but you would not. But in opposite, in John 8, verse 44, it says, 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Amen. That is John 8, verse 44.
Der Herr möchte unsere Zustimmung.
So we heard the Lord wants our approval or our consent. So I can give consent to the Lord that you treat me. I want to gain the prize. I want to run the race. And I give you my consent. A nice phrase or nice word. I give my consent to. And what? Ah, blasphemy. Blasphemy is if blasphemy comes out of ourselves, is from the old man that are in Colossians. So we read in 1 Peter already, if we do not walk with them, that they speak evil of us. So 2 Peter 2. Ten, eleven, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority, they are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. This is something I know from my active time. To speak evil about colleagues. There's always someone who says some gossiping about each other. So, yeah, gossiping. So quickly is something coming out of our mouth, a bad comment. This belongs to the old man. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Verse 11, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. In verse 12, but these, like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. So, this gossiping, you don't need to think long about it. It's from very low and the old man, very low level. Evil speaking, we read that also in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, it's described a bit different. whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So people who are glorious about or glory about their shame, if you read the news or in the newspaper, so many people, they glory about their shame, glorious in their shame. This is completely out of the old man, the old fallen man. Do you know? Question. Do you know the first poem in the Bible? Who knows the first poem in the Bible? Does someone know? Or does... No? The first poem in the Bible is in Genesis. So, well, everything then was developed or created, the music instruments. It's about Lamech. Well, he was the first one who had two wives, who the order that the Lord shown and created, he broke this order. So Genesis 4, verse 23 and 24, it's a poem. You have to see or imagine. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So in Hebrew, this is a poem. It's the first poem of humanity. And just to show from what is the source, glory is their shame. They glory about their shame. He was priding about in front of his wives. It's very... So we see how quickly humanity fell. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Do not lie. I'm sure I must not explain. Lying is not, it's not okay. It's just not okay. Lying has such variety. Lying is not just saying I say something wrong. I can lie if I leave something out. If I say everything right, but I don't tell everything, I leave something out, and I know exactly the other person will misunderstand it. That is the higher art craft of lying. I don't want to talk about this obvious lying, but also among us, we must not allow lying. No lie, it cannot. Yeah, lying is not okay. It's not possible. The devil is said about the devil. He is the father of lying. He is the source, and we do not make ourselves one with him. So lay aside. We must not keep anything. The Lord knows us much better than we know ourselves, but we can lay aside and in front of him everything. Even the best that we have, we should not hold back. I must be a bit quicker. I'm only finished half. So we put on the new man. And I want to show the verses that are fitting this. Or we should not just take one verse and add that for an explanation to another verse. If I have a verse or an interpretation to a verse, then I need at least one verse or another verse who show the same. So no interpretation is out of own interpretation. So 2 Peter. So man was created in the image of God, but through after man fell, it lost this image. Man is no longer according in an image to God. And if we see in Genesis 5, verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. And that means men and who were born after then, they are not longer according to the image of God. So the image of God was lost. But today, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we are transformed in the same image. We are transformed in the same image. So this continues that if the Lord comes again, also our body is transformed. Philippians 3, verse 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Let's read. 1 John 3, we will see him how he is, and therefore we will be similar to him. We will resemble him. So 1 Corinthians 15, 52. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Again, Colossians 3, 11. Yeah. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So the ethical, social, intellectual difference, we should not stress that. And also not on similarities. In the new man, we cannot have differences, distinctions. I prefer to meet with those that there are similar mind than me. That is also not part of the new man. I'm sorry. There is no distinction. And also the similarities that bring us close and also in the old man. But on the other side, Christ is all and in all. That doesn't mean, can I say, that does not mean that we lose our uniqueness. In the New Jerusalem, we are all precious stones. And the Lord, he was recognized, not immediately, but he was recognized. How he was before, they recognized him. And this is a showing how in the future, how it will be. And Actually, I wanted to talk about forgiveness, to forgive each other. We must learn. We must really learn. Peter asks, how often shall we forgive? 7 times? Is that enough? And what does the Lord answer? Do you know? Seven times, 70 times. So 490 times. So, which means always. We must learn to forgive. And forgive in the same way as Jesus forgave, not with something holding back or some not, just as Christ forgave. Verse 13, how had Christ forgave us? How did he forgive? Bearing with one another. Chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you. So, well, it is depending on us if we accept this forgiveness of the Lord. That is part of that. But about us, if we think something unjust has happened to us, we must forgive. And therefore the Lord says, what you, in which you have not forgiven, it will not forgiven you as well. This is not a shadow. This is today a reality. Yeah. So Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. And just very quickly, so I wrote on the outline practical help as in the headline, point D, 3 verses. Verse 15, Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And verse 17, whatever you do in word, but this let be, that is our decision. So the peace of Christ, well, we cannot go in deeper this, but let the peace of God be the rulers in our hearts. And also in Hebrews it says we should run after the peace. So we should be also in peace and in everything that we do have the peace of Christ. And the word dwell in us. That word dwell in us. It's also a topic. Now the time is past, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word is the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. Come to the word, have fellowship with the word, think about the word. It's good to fill your thoughts with the word if you're lying awake at night. The word is very fruitful. To think about the word is fruitful. In the last verse, 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this means, or whatever we do must be in accord with the Lord, the Father. It must be all within the Lord. And this is also, we must come to the Lord. We must include the Lord in all things. Christ, to live Christ. Amen.